Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here hosting this weekend's edition as Chad and I were both at the New Orleans Investment Conference this week. And, well, we're recording this show early on in the week on Tuesday, right before I head out to New Orleans to get in front of a lot of resource companies, get an understanding or even more feeling on the overall sentiment in the resource sector, especially for the stocks. On this weekend show, I'm going to be focusing a lot on the resource stocks, simply because, well, I have a couple guests that follow these stocks, are very active in the sector, and I know we're all wondering when the underlying resource stocks will play catch up to some of these just generally higher metals prices. I'm kicking off the show with Cam Curry, Senior Investment Advisor at Canaccord Genuity, Head of Curry Metals and Mining Group. Now, Cam, first big picture topic, and I don't want to spend too much time here because really feel like we've talked this to death over the last couple of years. But look, gold, as we're recording this, right at about that $2,000 level. But the stocks just seem to continue to lag. We've seen a little bit of a bounce in the last couple of weeks. But overall, I know a lot of investors in the space are saying, look, gold is at such a good level here, but the stocks aren't getting any value. Cam, what's your take on this big picture, this macro concept?
Well, again, Corey, thank you very much once again for having me. And that is one of the biggest perplexing situations in our equity space right now. And, you know, I've given numerous interviews on the topic of narrative economics. And in the Western world right now, there's just no narrative towards gold. I mean, gold's at $2,000 an ounce, and no one's paying attention. Case in point, if you look at gold ETF holdings, in the last 9 months, gold ETF holdings have gone from 3,400 tons to 2,700 tons. So the Western world continually dribbles out gold in exchange for higher yielding instruments than that. Whereas gold's at $2,000, and you look at Eastern Central Banks, they keep on exchanging U.S. dollars for gold. In fact, 2 weeks ago in Singapore, spot gold was in this 2000 range, and the physical delivery was $90 over spot. So there's nobody really paying attention. So I think what's so key to monitor right now, and in fact, yesterday, the gold ETF holdings in the States was up by 20 tons, the first time we've seen that in a long time, in fact, 18 months. So the gold ETF flows are the key, in my view, right now, because once the gold ETF flows increase, the gold equity flows should get some attention. And with the dollar, you know, skirting at 106 on the index, the Dixie, and gold still at all-time highs, I think we're getting closer to that inflection point. And at that point, we should get some money flows because we still have redemptions in gold funds, believe it or not, despite gold at 2,000.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, hey, is that the dollar's been generally higher, rates are generally higher, and gold is doing very well, but it's just not filtering down into the stocks. You mentioned some of these higher yielding instruments seem to be the favor. Is that the biggest problem for these stocks, is that there is a bit of this risk off attitude, so investors just aren't going into equities broadly?
Well, that's one of it. But, you know, it's interesting. I did some of my best thinking at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was reflecting back on previous cycles. And I still remember back in the dot-com bubble of 2000 when I was telling everybody how stupid the valuations were, comparable to what was 2022. In 2000, you know, we had this correction in the dot-com bubble. But a lot of people forget that it got flushed out and then it had a 40% bounce. And everyone thought, okay, we're back on track with the tech stocks. Well, if you look what happened, last November, we had that capitulation in the tech stocks. And since then, we've had this big rally in tech stocks. And a lot of people have clambered back into them because, again, muscle memory and thinking that, you know, they can make their money back. And so in 2002, we were buying the gold stocks when gold was at $350 an ounce. And nobody was paying attention similar to today because the money was chasing the sectors they had lost money for because they thought they were making their money back, which is what we've just gone through in the United States equity markets. So I think now we're starting to see that rollover in the U.S. equities. You take out the top seven companies of the S&P, it's down 10% for the year. So gold's where it is, but no one's paying attention because they're still chasing the bounce in the tech stocks. So it was late 2002, early 2003, the U.S. dollar index started rolling over, and gold went through 400. And that's when the attention came into the space, and that's when the gold stocks took off. So we have yield competition plus people chasing the sectors that they got decimated in 2 years ago because they think they can make their money back. So we have two combinations here that are keeping money flows or recognition of gold at 2000.
Now, what about the majors? A lot of people are looking at the majors saying they usually get moving first in an early on bull market. It does show bigger investors paying attention to the sector. To your point, clearly these bigger investors aren't paying attention because these majors, which should be generating some pretty decent profits, they're trading in wide ranges, kind of in the middle of these ranges. It's not very exciting charts.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. The algos and that look for these momentum shifts and that. And let's face it. I mean, you look at Barrick at $22 or $21.50, whatever it is. Newmont's just digesting the Newcrest acquisition, and they missed in their quarter. And, you know, you look at both those companies, which are the bellwethers in the indexes, in the S&P index, Newmont being S&P and Barrick being the other in another index, that they're not performing. And, you know, the flat production, increasing costs. So it's gold price related. And so if they're not performing, the money flows aren't coming in. But if you look at some of the mid-tiers, they've been delivering. You look at Alamos, El Dorado, you know, Lundin Gold. I mean, you know, they're the 500,000-ounce producer growth stories. They're trading almost near their highs here. So there are some performances, but again, there's no money flows, and that's the problem.
Why are the mid-tiers doing so much better? Have they been able to control costs better? Are they more favorably looked upon? Make sense of that environment, please.
Well, costs, one, assets, growth, two, discipline is management is key. And there's very few of them. And, you know, I was talking to one in particular, I'm not going to mention the name, but they were talking about how two ETF indexes have come into the stocks. And so you have these indexes that flow into these things. And again, that's such a key component to today's equity markets, whether it's tech, life science, is that ETF flows. And as I said, we've had gold ETFs going down for the last 9 months from 3,400 tons to 2,700 tons. And so naturally, the gold equity ETFs are following suit. So that has to shift. And yesterday's move of 20 tons to the upside was the first time we've seen that type of move in 18 months. So we'll see how that momentum changes.
Yeah, it's generally been lower volume in these ETFs as well, especially GDX, GDXJ. The volume has been very, very weak. Do we need to be looking at these mid-tiers then to maybe spark some M&A, to maybe free up some capital for investors in some of the smaller companies? Because quite frankly, I think some of these investors are just stuck in some of these smaller stocks.
Oh, and you know, again, you know, I'm cornerstone in five different companies that are either just started production or producing 200,000 to 300,000 ounce production, but they're, you know, the challenge is they're single asset companies. And we have no ETF flows into the space. And so you look at some of these companies, they're trading at 0.2 times NAV. Whereas you look at the mid-tiers, they're trading at 0.8 times NAV. So you've got these situations where the money flows are going into the tier ones right now. There's no money flows coming to the next level. So, you know, there should be some M&A taking place. But you talk to some of the tier ones and they go, well, we can't find assets that are operating the low costs profiles that our existing assets are, so why would we compromise our profits and buy something of lesser quality? So there's elements to that. But reality is that there's a scarcity of assets. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And that's what, you know, in the last cycle, I was involved with eight companies that were taken over. That's my theme this time, too, because there's been no real exploration development, no new assets coming out of the pipeline, and they're very few and far between.
Yeah, you really got to think that some of these companies are going to start doing some things we'll see when that ball starts rolling. Cam, I'm having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. Going to be right back with Cam Curry.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Your
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Cam Curry, Senior Investment Advisor at Canaccord Genuity, also head of Curry Metals and Mining Group. Now, Cam, you brought up Tier 1 companies. A lot of conversation about Tier 1 assets. And to your point that there just aren't that many Tier 1 assets out there, what separates some of the best quality assets in your eyes that it sounds like you work with or you work closely beside?
Well, Tier 1 assets usually find out after or down the line because they evolve into Tier 1 assets. Because as you know, the exploration game is starts off on grassroots. And I don't play grassroots per se. I wait for things to present themselves and get in when I start recognizing the potential of a Tier 1 asset. And, you know, they're very rare. I mean, people can claim to have Tier 1 assets, but in today's world, the geopolitical risks are getting greater. Permitting risks, environmental risks, narrative risks, all these risks are greater in today's environment. So you could be so right, and then political change can take place and it can go so wrong. You know, you look what's happening right now in Panama. I mean, First Quantum has just lost, $14 a share because of what's going on with the mining law there. And now it's going to go to election in May. It's going to be very noisy for a long period of time. We've been involved with a number of jurisdictions. I mean, Peru flipped upside down when Castillo got elected. And, you can be a tier one asset, but then you're stuck in a geopolitical shift. And all of a sudden, that's no longer a tier one asset. So that's why it's important to have a basket of companies. And that's why, companies like mid-tiers have 3, 4, 5 assets. They have diversification. Whereas if you're a single asset, like in West Africa, the noise in Niger, we got hit on a couple of our names there too, but it's business as usual. But the narrative depicts the overthrow of democracy, whereas gold mining is the number one industry in a lot of West African countries, and the governments are your partners.
Well, you want them to be your partners, but yeah, you are right. We've seen a number of issues jurisdictionally wise, especially in South America, but we'll maybe circle around to that. In terms of the assets that you're focused on then, look, you're not looking grassroots. What stage do you like to get into a company or really filter into an asset when it comes to either economic studies, certain sizes of resource? What kind of metrics can you give us here?
I mean, that's a very good question because, I probably have 8 companies on my radar that I really, really like. I really like management, really like the assets, but they're in that development, quiet permitting stage per se. And so they're ticking the boxes. And so they're in that dead zone, so to speak, despite the assets being great assets. I'll revisit them later on. So typically I like to look at assets that are unlocking significant exploration upside. So they may have a certain size asset, but all of a sudden there's a shift in the resource interpretation that changes it to a much greater asset. I love those type of stories. I was very, very fortunate to recognize the Filo opportunity 3 years ago when they put the hole into the sulfides and in the Hukunga district, and the rest is history on that. But the other side is you see these companies that are delivering on the performance of their assets. We have one company in particular that, has gone from 80,000 ounce production to 275,000 ounce production, had, $70 million in debt. Now they've got $100 million U.S. in the bank, and they're firing all pistons, and they're very undervalued. So, but you're seeing the execution, and you just keep on buying it, sticking away, because eventually when the money flows come in, they're going to go to those type of companies.
Well, and it's the money flows that come in on the investment front, but then also financing risk. Do you prefer companies that are in production right now with a growth profile over those companies that are in construction in that kind of that slow period, but also looking to or needing to raise money to complete the build?
Well, companies under construction going towards production. Yeah, I've got a couple in my portfolio, and there's always the thoughts of are they funded through to production, or are they underfunded and that. And in a positive gold environment, the stocks are going to perform, and that won't be an issue. But in this vacuum we've been in for the last 2 months, when gold price slapped down $200, and then it bounced back, a lot of these stocks got taken down thinking they had to do equity raises. And so, let's face it, there's no money flows coming into the space. So if you have to raise capital, you're at the whim of the market. And for the juniors, I mean, that's a very scary place to be right now, because you know, we need some serious money flows to come into the space before we really start getting any money going into the junior market. You know, for them to keep on advancing their assets or even survive in this environment, it's tough. And so there's going to be some great opportunities, but you have to wait for that shift, right?
What signals to you that shift then? Is it simply just money flows into the ETFs, an increase in volume, a bit more momentum to the upside?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, you know, I mentioned narrative economics, and a lot of stuff I've been talking about is starting to take place in the U.S. economy, and the discussion of debt is becoming much more topical. Even to look at the Fed balance sheet, that's another topic that's coming in. And so, you know, quite honestly, it's this U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar starts rolling over here. That's when I think the shift of psychology is going to really start taking place. We had the Dixie breakdown below 100 and gold was at 2000. The stock started reacting like in 2003. Between 2003 and 2007, the Dixie dropped from, you know, 100 down to 74, and we had a very significant rally in gold and gold equities. And I think we're on the cusp of that. You know, because again, you know, when the U.S. dollar does roll over, where is money going to go? And Eastern central banks continue to buy gold. What most people don't understand, Corey, is that the three largest reserve currencies in the world are the U.S. dollar, the euro, and gold. Euroland, in my view, has already gone into recession. I think the U.S. is just slipping into recession. So the question is, you know, what currency do you want to add to your portfolio looking down on this planet? And gold is the only reserve currency that has no political attachment, no debt obligation, and no printing press. But the Western investor isn't aware of that. They aren't even thinking that. And that's the opportunity.
What about silver? We've talked a lot, again, about gold and how well gold's doing. Silver is done okay, but as we're recording, it's right around $23, kind of trading within this range, nowhere near those all-time highs. What do you see in silver?
Well, again, it's interesting. Gold at 2,000, silver at 23. I would think silver would be a lot higher just from the investment demand. But again, we just don't have that investment demand kick in like as of yet. What's unique to silver, though, is, again, the application in the electrification of the world and digital and medical, too. I mean, the amount of silver used in hospitals and clinics and that is very significant. And so it's kind of a misunderstood investment. What I'm also thinking about silver is that supply side coming forward is a real challenge because silver is a byproduct in a lot of mines. And there's just no money being spent on developing these projects. And so supply side on silver is going to be a problem moving forward. And so, you know, again, going back to whether it's copper, silver, gold, there's just no new projects coming out of the pipeline of material size. They're going to shift supply.
All right, Cam, great chatting with you. Thank you very much for sharing some of your insights. I know we can't talk too specifically about companies, but you have given us some tips in terms of what you are looking for, some of the companies that you are working with, and some of the ones it sounds like that you're largely avoiding. So I really appreciate your time here, Cam. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And yeah, if you want to follow along with Cam, check out Curry Metals and Mining Group. That's where Cam runs his operations. Thanks for your time, Cam. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden's chief diplomat is advocating for humanitarian pauses in the conflict between Israel and Hamas. While visiting Tel Aviv, Secretary of State Antony Blinken urged a temporary halt to allow for the release of hostages held by Hamas and for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza.
We need to do more to protect Palestinian civilians. We've been clear that as Israel conducts its campaign to defeat Hamas, how it does so matters.
At least 130 people are dead following an earthquake in Nepal. The U.S. Geological Survey says a 5.6 magnitude quake shook the northwestern part of the country. About 140 people were injured in the quake, which caused landslides in the mountainous country. Rescuers are searching the mountain villages for more victims, and officials say the death toll is expected to rise. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. These final two segments we are recording from the floor of the New Orleans Investment Conference. And we are going to continue to focus on the resource sector, driving down to a lot of the resource stocks. Happy to report that we're sitting down now with Brent Cook, economic geologist and advisor to Joe Mazumdar over at Exploration Insights. Now, Brent, let's talk about, again, the general state of these markets for resource companies. Look, we all kind of expected this conference to be a little bit slower with a little fewer companies, just simply because the state of the market is these companies have been struggling. That is what we're seeing here, but we are still getting some positive outlooks from some of the speakers. What's your takeaway from now being at this conference, and how closely you follow these stocks, of the overall state of this market when we're talking about resource stocks?
Well, it certainly has sucked for the past, few years. But I do see something happening that is new, and that I'm seeing a lot of fresh faces, people that have not been in the industry before, not been in this sector. Like, we had a show of hands the other day in the hall, and I'd say a quarter to a third of the people were there for the first time at the Beaver Creek Precious Metal Show as well. I asked that question, and maybe, again, a third of the people were new to the sector. So what I'm seeing is people starting to look, starting to try and understand how this thing works, and getting to know the sector. So I think we're setting up for a really strong market going out into next year. Like, this tax law season is the time to be buying things, especially in the precious metal sector.
Well, Brent, along that line of thinking, with so many new people coming into the sector, you're pretty good at identifying red flags. And for people that maybe see everything on sale, not all stocks are created equal. What are some of the things you would tell new people in the industry to maybe look out for or avoid when they're trying to position in tax loss selling season?
We know the odds of any individual prospect turning into a discovery in a mine are extremely low. But it takes work to figure that out. So finding the fatal flaw is what Joe and I do more than anything else. Is we like to invest early, understand what the company's, so you need to understand what the company's looking for in terms of tons and grade, and what the economics are going to be if they're successful, and have those markers to see if they meet those goals or not. And if those goals aren't met, you've got to sell, period. Holding out with, you know, the hope, if you will, that something good will happen, it usually doesn't.
What should companies be looking for in this market? Because quite frankly, it seems like low-grade bulk tonnage does not move the needle. Higher grade, we know, works in bull markets. It also seems to work in bear markets. What sort of deposits do you like to see being at least explored for?
Well, in a, you know, real simply, high-margin discoveries in reasonably safe jurisdictions. That's what I'm looking at. And they're out there now. You can buy those for less, you know, you can buy them real cheap right now. I mean, okay, I mentioned Rupert Resources the other day on the one of my presentation. Arizona's Sonora Copper. Again, those are very high margin, good deposits, good jurisdictions. Yeah, that's what you're looking for, and you can buy those cheap now. I think in terms of fatal flaws, one thing that kills a lot of projects is the metallurgy. Basically, how do you recover the metal? And that's really important, because a 10-gram refractory deposit, I mean, you got to essentially break the gold out of the pyrite crystal, is not near as good as a 1-gram deposit that's been oxidized through surface weathering. You need to understand those processes, and that's key. And ask the companies that. Ask the companies, you know, how are you going to recover this if you're successful in finding something? What's it going to cost?
Well, and when you think about companies that are de-risking big projects, they put out a series of studies, and they start with a PEA, they go to a PFS, they go to an FS, that's a pre-feasibility study and a feasibility study. What do you look for in those as potential things that catch your interest and other things that maybe shake your head when you see them?
I think what you need to realize is that certainly the preliminary economic assessment and even the pre-feasibility are more designed to be sales documents to retail. But real companies, if they're interested in a project, they do their own study. And they're often much more realistic than the PEA. So what I look for is, okay, what was the metal price they used? Is the recovery percent reasonable? What's it going to cost to build this thing realistically? And how are they going to get the money to do it? I mean, I see companies with a 20 million market cap need to raise $400 million to build something. And that's, you know, ain't going to happen. You're going to be diluted out of any success. So it's not about market cap. It's about share price. And you watch these companies that try and build something, and although their market cap might increase, share price doesn't. That's a killer.
We've seen that so many times, haven't we?
Back to that whole recovery aspect, though. Do you like more focused deposits, like one or two type of metals? Or do you like some of these polymetallics that have just a handful of metals in there that, yes, they can improve certain economics, but back to your point, how are you going to go about recovering all of these different metals?
I tend to stick to simple deposits. Although another one I mentioned yesterday was Meteoric Resources, Australian listed company. They've got a rare earth deposit in Brazil, and rare earths are really, really rare in terms of easier to get out of the rock. But these have been oxidized, so it's much simpler. I mean, look at, like, there's a company I know that has a silver equivalent, yet the silver grade is only 26 grams, but they've got zinc, lead, copper, all low grade. And what you got to realize is there's always a certain percentage of the metal you're not going to get out. And the lower the grade, that percentage increases because that's not going to come out. So you need higher grade.
Well, Brent, let's also talk about, since You've been so involved with going to site visits and the exploration side of the business. There's a lot of investors here that invest in the drill plays, and some of them are looking at things before the assays are out, just on the targeting, and other companies, they're positioned after they've made a discovery. How do you play both, the pre-discovery stories and the post-discovery stories?
Well, I look at the geology. For instance, there's a company in... I guess I can just keep naming companies if I want. Okay, Radius Gold. They've got a project down in the richest silver district in the world, Fresnillo, and they found at surface outcropping indications that there's a gold system at depth. So this one I'm watching, and I've bought some ahead of time because I've seen, you know, the geology's right, and if they hit, this thing's going to go nuts. But others, I'll wait until I see the drill results to get a sense of, is this really working or not? Tectonic metals is one that I like the geology, but I think it's a much higher risk, so I want to see the drill holes and then make that decision. So I play it both ways. It really depends on the geology to me.
What do you think of the corporate strategy of some of these majors entering some of these companies as funding partners, earn-in agreements where they have the ability to earn into some of these assets by spending money, so it saves the actual exploration company money, but on the back end, it can take away other potential buyers? How do you like that strategy?
Right now, if you can get someone to give you money, you take it. I think that's a great strategy. If the deal is, the joint venture is struck properly. Headwater Gold, for instance, has excellent deals with Newmont right now on four projects in Nevada that, if they're successful, Newmont has to spend in the order of $145 million to get 65%. Headwater's got a market cap of $18 million. They're not going to raise $145 million. So I think it's a great way to play it.
All right, so everyone listening on the radio, we are out of time for this segment, but we do continue to chat with Brent Cook, and we are going to be continuing to play that interview in the next segment to wrap up this weekend edition. If you want to hear this full interview, please just visit our website or podcast, click on that weekend show posting, and that is where you can get the full interview. But again, stick around. You're going to hear the second half, most of the second half, in the next segment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay heating pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We are back wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, and this is the second half of our interview that we recorded with Brent Cook, exploration geologist and advisor to Joe Mazumdar over at Exploration Insights. We are continuing to discuss the overall resource market, especially focused on the underlying stocks. Any insights on what majors or even mid-tiers, what potential acquirer companies are looking for? Because we haven't seen many deals right now.
They're looking for the same thing as I am. High margin deposits that are permittable in reasonable jurisdictions. And they're few and far between. I mean, you know, there must be, I don't know, 50 to 100 companies on the venture exchange that have got some sort of resource. But most of them are marginal. And The majors have hopefully learned their mistake not to buy those marginal deposits anymore.
What about certain size? It was a decade ago that we were saying 1 million ounces was great. That doesn't seem to move the needle for the majors.
You're right, it doesn't. It's now gotten to be 2+ million ounces, although, again, it comes down to margin. If you can find a million-ounce deposit with your all-in sustaining costs of $500 to $700, bucks, that makes more money than a much larger deposit with less margin.
Well, when you look at the valuations that most of the development stage companies are getting, resource stage companies, you know, if you think back to the last cycle in 2010, 2011, they were getting $100 an ounce plus on those. Now we're seeing projects that get 20, 10, even sub 10. What do you think is driving the change in the valuation? Because the metals prices are actually holding up pretty well, but the companies are being valued like they're never going to be built.
That's a problem with this sector. This sector right now is hated. You know, I mean, bad news, bad share prices begets badder share prices, I think. But I think that's about to change.
What about other metals then? We've talked a lot about precious metals, but you've also thrown in a copper company too and some other polymetallic assets. What other metals do you like outside of gold? Maybe even silver? We didn't really get into that either.
Gold, silver's all right. Copper for sure. Rare earths. Uranium's all right. Nickel. Those are the ones I'm most focused on.
When you say something like nickel, we don't talk about it as often, but it's hard to find just nickel-only companies because they're almost always polymetallic. They're sometimes with PGMs. Sometimes nickel occurs with copper. Do you look for something where the majority, and this applies to all polymetallic deposits, do you look for something where there's a real leading metal in there, or just look at the sum total of all the metals and make your decisions based on that?
I prefer a major metal. And there are companies. There's Centaurus, Australian, listed down in Brazil. There's Bravo, again, a great deposit they're defining down in Brazil, and Brazil's a good place to be. So there are nickel projects out there, but they're not near as many. It's tougher to find good nickel deposits.
When it comes to management, a lot of people talk about management. You need to stick to good management teams. Are there any newer management teams out there that have really got your attention that you are either paying more attention to or you think are doing the right things that should be noticed by investors?
Yeah, there are. I mentioned Headwater Gold, and they've got another company, Inflection, which is looking for copper in Australia. That group is very, very focused and doing a good job. The Discovery Group, they've got a number of companies within that umbrella that do good work. That's the sort of thing that seems to be working. I think I like the idea of groups getting together so they can spread the risk, share the costs, and you've got a number of experts that can jump in at different times to help out on an individual company. I think that's a good model to go by now.
Well, another thing we always like to check with people on is jurisdiction. Some people only stick to North America and safe jurisdictions. Some people don't mind going into riskier jurisdictions if they're priced accordingly. How do you deal with jurisdiction risk?
It's very site-specific. I mean, we mentioned Arizona Sonora Copper. That's a great deposit. That's going to be permitted and built. But there's others there that are going to have a permitting nightmare, and you've got to have water. So it comes down to the individual location to a large degree. Same in Argentina. You know, you wouldn't want to try and build something in Mendoza province, but Santa Cruz is great. Obviously, I'll avoid places like Venezuela, California, some of the African countries. Scandinavia, great place to be looking at. They've got, you know, they recognize the need for minerals, and you get things done.
When you're looking at some of the charts of these companies, and I know you focus more on geology, but fact of the matter is there's a lot of companies right now that are practically going no bid. So what do you think of these kind of companies? How much weight do you put in? Just how many shares certain companies can trade, whether they're pre-discovery, post-discovery, what have you?
Liquidity is kind of a problem. I mean, I've got a few stocks that I tried to sell $10,000 worth, I'll crash the market. That's kind of a bummer. But then again, like Latin Minerals, that's another one I talked to yesterday. They've got a market cap around $5 million or so, and Anglo is going to be spending in the order of $8 million testing one of their projects. That's not a bad risk to reward.
Brent, another thing I think you do incredibly well is you go on site visits and you see things that you don't see on a corporate presentation, you don't see in a news release. Maybe give people an idea of some of the benefits you get by going out to site visits and why they should check out the work that Joe does over at Exploration Insights.
It is key to go look at these early stage projects on the ground. You see things there that are not in the flip books or not, you know, you don't see otherwise. You see how management works. You see how they work with the locals. You see how the team works together. That's really important. And then you see what the topography is like. Like I've been to a project that looked really good on paper, and I get there, it's like, hang on, this is on a cliff, and down below there's the water leading to the town down the road. And, you know, you're not going to pull that off. That's not on the... You got to go and look at these things. And you look, more often than not, it's never as good as you hope it's going to be.
Well, of course not, right? They're not going to put that stuff in the presentation.
Yeah, good point.
What can you look for in presentations, though? Because not a whole lot of people even get invited on site visits. So how can you look at presentations or the company's website? Even something like Google Maps, how can you try to pick out some of those flaws?
Well, Google Maps is a good way to get a feel for what it looks like around there, certainly. I think how a company presents itself is really important. They need to show, even if you don't understand what everything's being shown, if a company puts its cross sections, long section, you know, sections, maps, all the drill data, you know, not just highlights. I hate it when they just put drill highlights. Like, come on, you know, it's the other holes I'm interested in. Those sorts of things. So I think just the way a company presents itself tells you a lot. I've got, you know, little rules that I go by. If the first thing the company starts talking about is its ESG or safety policy, it's a sell. If there's some legal guy up there going along with, you know, whatever it is, that's a sell. tell me about the metal. Why the metal's going to go higher? You know, come on.
What about in press releases? When you look at press releases, there's companies that release press releases, and you kind of covered some of that with having all the drill holes in there and the chart data and the mapping, but are there any things you see in press releases where you just shake your head or it's an immediate avoid because of the way they're presenting themselves?
Again, a good press release should have a couple of paragraphs that explain very simply so anyone can understand what they think is happening. And then it should have all the details for someone like myself that I can figure it out. It should not just have drill highlights. Too often I look at these maps and I can see there's other holes been drilled there, but historic holes, but they don't talk about those. And they're really hard to find. Those historic holes are the ones that are really important. Like what was found before.
Back to jurisdiction, one other question, because we don't get a whole lot of, I guess, interest from North America in Australia. But quite frankly, the Australian companies are doing very well. They seem to be funded much better. They seem to have easier access to capital, and they seem to run their mines more profitably. So are you interested in Australian plays? Have you been, in a way, moved a bit more to those companies?
Definitely. Well, I lived there for a long time, and I know a lot of people that have worked there. And, yeah, I think Australia, the markets and the participants are much more focused on reality, I think, because it's that sort of a country and culture. It's not, I think Canadians tend to be, you know, mining the public markets, whereas Australians try and actually mine the rock. That's where they're going, because it's more of a culture there. They understand it better, and it's a much bigger part of their economy. So, yeah, Australia's great. I've invested in a lot of companies over there.
Brent, thank you very much for taking time with us. It's always a pleasure seeing you at these conferences, and I'm sure we'll see you again next year. So thank you again for not only being here, but also your speech. And everybody, thank you for tuning in on this weekend show. We're going to have a few more interviews coming from the floor of this conference throughout the next week. So be sure to visit our website and podcast to keep up to date with all of those. Everyone listening, thank you very much for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.